My name is Donald Hussey, and I'm a Green Party candidate in the 21st Congressional District of New York State here in 2014. I'm doing a campaigning event tonight. It is a teleconference call, kind of in the format of a town hall meeting, on the subject of creating government accountability. On the call with us tonight is a member of the news media, Daniel Flatley with the Watertown Daily Times. There's also Lou Shepard from Counter Action New York and a fellow Green Party member. There's also Dale Pondish, an interested citizen of the U.S. of A. Welcome. What I decided to do is have Mr. Shepard go first. So, Lou, you are up to speak about creating government accountability. You know, what your thoughts are on that, what your experiences are on that, and maybe even what you would like to see the accountability created to deal with.
Okay. One of the things that I'd like to start off with is that the government knew about 1897 that asbestos was a problem. And I don't know exactly when they kind of took it off the market here in this country, but it's still being mined and sold around the world. And it is a problem. And that's just one small example of how these things that are known to be a problem are kind of pushed on the back burner. One of my favorite websites is Mercola.com, and he's been working very hard to bring about some labeling in the as far as GMO or modified foods are concerned, and. And another field that he is very passionate about is, which has been going on for a good many years, and that is mercury amalgam dental fillings. And I think this is a really good example of how the government is non-responsible for something that's as extremely toxic as mercury and in the form of mercury amalgam fillings. And that is, I believe the person that's in charge of the FDA currently is a Margaret Hamburg. And she has been on the board of one of the largest manufacturers of mercury amalgam fillings in this country. And so that is a good example, I think, of how people have conflicting interests that take leadership roles in agencies such as the FDA. And another example of that is a guy by the name of Taylor, who is also a part of the Monsanto business. And that it's also an example of how the people that work at the FDA, a lot of them are just have been recycled from industry, and especially the pharmaceutical companies. So this is one of the things that the FDA has been charged with is to make food and cosmetics and pharmaceuticals safe for people. But I think they've failed miserably, and especially in the approving some of these things that we are exposed to most of the time, and I'm thinking particularly of aspartame. And on Dr. Mercola's website, I believe it was today's website, He has an article in there, drinking this American staple twice a day may boost your risk of death by 50%. And he's talking about diet drinks that are sweetened with aspartame. And that is a a neurotoxin, an exotoxin, so that it affects the brain really bad. And this is the kind of thing that he brings to his website on a regular basis. And one of his favorite sayings is that he's giving us the ability to help our own health. And but how do you get the government to be responsible for some of these things? That's a big question. And one of the journals that I read is Life Extension. And in the current issue of Life Extension, they have an article about an organization called Alliance for Natural Health. And this is an international organization. And what they do is they're dedicated to promoting sustainable freedom of choice in healthcare through good science and good law since 1992. And they have worked to shift the medical paradigm from an exclusive focus on surgery, drugs, and other conventional techniques to an integrative approach incorporating functional foods, a healthy diet, dietary supplements, and lifestyle changes to ensure that consumer rights. This Alliance for Natural Health lobbies Congress and state legislatures, acts as a government watchdog, files comments on proposed rulemakings, and educates the public, the press, and other decision makers. Well, this would be a good way since all of the businesses lobby Congress, this would be a good way for to contribute to this kind of an organization. And and another thing that they have done is they've brought about six or so different lawsuits against the FDA for some of the things that they've approved that are not good for our health. And so I'd like to close by saying that this is a task that is monumental, and based on one of the my favorite people, Margaret Mead, said, never underestimate the power that just a few people have in making changes in the world. Okay? That's my comment.
Thank you, Lou. That was great. Dale, you want to go next? Dale?
I suppose so. I'm not sure.
It's up to you. You know, if you would prefer to come in, I'm not. You know, it's your choice. You know, would you like to speak? You know, the town hall is open. It's a public forum, and so if you want to speak, but nobody always speaks in the town halls either. So you don't. It's your choice.
All right. Can you hear me? Okay. First of all,
I hear you.
Can
good.
You hear me? Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yep.
Can you hear me, Don?
Yeah, I hear you. Good.
Okay. All right, I wasn't getting any response, so I didn't know anything what he was listening or able to hear me. I've got several things that are bothering me, and Monsanto, as Lou was saying, and labeling GMO products, that's pretty important to me. I think it's unfair that our government allows a company like Monsanto to sue a farmer who's growing want to say, organic crops. Monsanto can sue a person who's growing organic crops that's next to a Monsanto field with non-organic crops, with the GMO stuff, and their products cross-pollinating with the organic farmers, ruining his business, and then being able to sue him? That is ridiculous. I mean, it's, I don't understand how the legal system is supposed to work if that's justice, because that's just obsolete. That's crazy. I can't imagine who would make a decision like that, but the judges are not always just. Another topic that bothers me is the taxes on the 1%, and how somebody like Governor Romney can have his, can openly say that he's got his funds in these offshore places where he doesn't have to pay taxes and keep out of jail. Why shouldn't he be put in jail for this? This is income tax evasion. And they're saying it's legal. Well, not in a truly just country. Another problem is foreign affairs. We got to stick our nose in every place, and we got to stir up people and try to start trouble with Russia. I'm not sure why we have such a grievance with Russia, because we could be working together instead of always fighting each other. But it seems like the government of the U.S. is always looking to poke a stick in somebody's eye, whether it be Russia, Syria, Libya, Iraq. It doesn't seem to matter, as long as it's not Israel, of course. And I don't know what we owe Israel for, why we are so indebted to Israel and to do their bidding no matter what they choose, when a lot of the stuff that they do is I'm against. The way they're treating the Palestinians is just totally unjust. They've got them under their thumb, and that's just not something that I'm going to solve here tonight. Another problem is the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA. Why that is a law, I have no idea. That and Citizens United should never have even been voted on, in my opinion. I don't know why they ever did that, but they did it behind the American public's back, and all of a sudden we have this law on the books. That's pretty much what things. Some of the things, there's just so many things that grievances that I have with our government, and it just makes me less patriotic every day. So anyway, I'm pretty much done with what I have to say here tonight. I'll work on it next time. I didn't really know I was going to be making a speech.
Okay, I understand. So. Okay. Well, I'm up then. My name is Donald Hussig, and I have been the director of Cantrex New York since we founded that organization, since Lou Shepard and Ellen Conant, and I founded that organization way back in January of 2000. And it has been quite an eye-opening experience to be focused very intently upon minimizing the exposure that people get to chemical carcinogens in particular, and some of the agent carcinogens as well, such as the RF and the EMF. But in the case of the chemical carcinogens especially, I've had such an experience of encountering lack of proper work by government employees that I've, you know, come to this. I went through a lot of frustration in all those years, but then I just gradually started thinking, well, frustration is one more way of being negative, and I don't want to be negative. I want to be as positive and strong about this as I can be. So I started thinking more and more about how to create accountability. I wrote this report called Disinformation Cancer Epidemic way back in, I think it was 2010, put it out on the Internet, sent it off to the news media, this huge email list that I had for AP all over the world, really, and a lot of different other media entities around the U.S. and Canada. Sent it out to, like, hundreds of news media entities, you know, Vietnam, Europe, you know, just all over the world, where you'd think that people would be interested in chemical exposure with the Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam and these various other chemical exposures and the problems associated with that. And yet, I didn't get one single news media show of interest in that report. It was about 14 pages long. It was very well tight and well done. And what it basically described was the total lack of interest on the part of the National Cancer Institute, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in particular the National Center for Environmental Health, the New York State Department of Health, US EPA, I'm not sure that I included all of them, but they certainly do have a record and a history on this. But anyways, I covered the educational documents that are produced by these entities, you know, some of these entities anyways, especially the Department of Health and the, CDC, and NCI, National Cancer Institute, those three for sure. And what I did was I started reading, I went on their websites, and I read the educational information they had about cancer prevention. And it became so clear that they were just not on the science. They were only reporting, you know, presenting this public health messaging about the, it's really not even science that they use, it's just this kind of view that has been espoused and kind of just brought forward and promoted a lot, that lifestyle, especially your weight, body weight and your, you know, drinking of alcohol and your cigarette smoking, these various things, the cigarette smoking has some science to it, but the other things don't have have no science to them at all. But anyways, the message that was just totally uniform, whether it was coming from NCI, National Cancer Institute, New York State Department of Health, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, FDA, EPA, all of them, the message was that it was largely other factors than chemical carcinogens that were responsible for causing cancer. And so all the messages about, you know, preventing cancer and doing something about cancer were that you had to do something about these other things. The fact of the matter is that the scientific literature is full of scientific research articles about chemical carcinogens causing cancer in epidemiological studies, in animal studies, in these various many ways in which it's demonstrated and documented that they cause cancer. It's gotten to the point where the National Toxicology Program every 2 years publishes the report on carcinogens, which lists a very large number of known human carcinogens, chemical carcinogens, and another large number of suspected chemical carcinogens. The International Agency for Research on Cancer, an arm of the World Health Organization, publishes these monographs on carcinogens and lists them as either known human carcinogens or suspected to cause cancer in humans. And there are many of these monographs that have been published by WHO, the IARC. And dioxin is a chemical that has a monograph. It's listed as a known human carcinogen. PCBs, since March 2013, are now known human carcinogens. Benzene is a known human carcinogen. Formaldehyde is a known human carcinogen. Lead, cadmium, chromium, nickel, arsenic. These are known human carcinogens. And yet there's no educational outreach, not even by the IARC, you know, not even by this International Agency for Research on Cancer. They do not do any public health messaging to the general public about these chemical carcinogens. IARC, they do prevention booklets. They have a series of prevention booklets. They're all on vitamins. They're all on, you know, various other kinds of ways that people are either likely to reduce their cancer risk or avoid, you know, exposure to things that cause cancer, but they're never about chemical carcinogens. I actually went through a long, long series of letters with the International Agency for Research on Cancer and phone calls and, you know, a lot of due diligence, a lot of hard work. And in the end, they just said to me, we only publish booklets that we have funding to publish. We publish these booklets about cancer prevention that we have funding to publish, and there seems to be no funding for publishing booklets about chemicals that cause cancer, even though they list these chemicals as causing cancer. It's all totally ridiculous, and so I kind of felt like, wow, there's got to be some way of getting accountability on this, and I just kept trying the news media to do it. I just kept trying and trying and trying to get the news media to do it, but the news media is controlled by the corporate media, you know, the corporate entities that have used the chemicals carelessly and have caused this cancer epidemic around the world. So the news media is not tremendously interested in reporting on this, so I've, you know, didn't get much out of that report I wrote about all these failed public health messaging documents that are used by NCI and EPA and FDA and the IARC and these various other entities. So what I decided was I'm going to figure out what laws could be created that would deal with this. And I've come up with three laws. They work very well in coordination. They should all be functioning at the same time to make it really work right. But I think that Congress should enact these three laws and call them together, maybe Cancer Elimination Act 1, 2, and 3, or just put them all together in one Cancer Elimination Act. I mean, Government Accountability Act. Sorry about that. It would be cancer elimination in this case, too, but Government Accountability Act. And what they would be is this. All the government employees, it will be a they will be required by law. There'd be a national law, a state law, and even a county law. You know, it'd have to be go down that deep because it goes that deep. All these people have a role to play. There should be a St. Lawrence County law that says every one of the county's employees, the office holders and the employees, will be required by law to give an interview on the record with any resident of St. Lawrence County, any citizen of St. Lawrence County, that was alleging that the employee or the office holder was not doing their job, wasn't doing their work. That would be the same case for the state and the federal. I'll give you a perfect example of how I'd like to use that particular law. I just sent off a letter to this Dr. Marion Olson, who's a risk assessor for USEPA. She wrote the record of decision for the GM Superfund site quite some time ago. That record of decision is used to justify the decision not to remove this thing that Mohawk call the toxic mound, which is a large, illegal hazardous waste landfill on the very edge of the GM Racer Now site, that site there, adjacent to Augustine. And that lady, my associate down in New York, who could have gone right to her office and discussed this with her, she refused to communicate with Mr. Bill Edstrom about his request to interview her on the record, about her role in creating that record of decision, you know, her risk assessment that she did. I want to ask her questions on the record. I'd be happy to not even have it on video. I would be satisfied with a recorded conference call with Dr. Marion Olson of Region 2 EPA talking about her decision-making process, her knowledge of scientific science about PCBs and damage to health that was used to create this record decision, stating that it was a good decision to leave the toxic mound in place on the Augustine, you know, there in adjacent to the Augustine Reserve. Another case of this, I'd like to make use of the state level. I'd like to get the former Commissioner of Public Health in New York State, this Dr. Nirav Shah, on a conference call to answer my questions about why his Center for Environmental Health would say that the World Health Organization report, Persistent Organic Pollutants Impact on Child Health, was a valid report, and yet his whole public health message and infrastructure, which is truly bigger than the Center for Environmental Health, but includes the Center for Environmental Health, why they have never published any educational piece on these persistent organic pollutants, even though WHO in that Valley report, according to the Center for Environmental Health with New York State DOH, is recommending that action be taken worldwide to minimize, not just reduce it, minimize it, cut it to the bone, make it as small as possible, minimize the exposure that children around the world receive to persistent organic pollutants, dioxins, PCBs, flame retardants. This doesn't add up. It's so clear that the only thing going on here is the money. The corporate money, the chemical corporation money, and the food sector money that says to Mr. Shah and says to that other person, this Marion Olson with EPA, says to somebody that's involved, probably the top person in EPA, it doesn't even trickle down that low. It's so easy for the top dollars to control the top government to the extent that nothing happens that the corporations don't want. And the thing the corporations really, really, really don't want is the people of America to be educated about how they are poisoned with PCBs and flame retardants and dioxin and bisphenol A and the benzene and these various other chemicals. It's not right. It's being done because the corporations don't want to pay the price for having caused this harm to American citizens. And so I'm thinking that with that law in place, that first piece of this legislation, but then I could put on the internet this interview with these criminals, and they're saying, you know, they can't answer my questions. They totally cannot answer my questions. So after that part of the act, we're going to go to the other three parts. There's going to be, if this law ever gets created, you know, in a just Congress, and in a just St. Lawrence County legislature, and in a just New York State legislature, the second part would be that there be an office in each one of these governmental entities that was charged with investigating the complaints of citizens against government employees and office holders who weren't doing their job. That's the second part. And the third part would be that every citizen of a governmental entity, such as the U.S. or the state or the county, would have legal standing to bring suit in court alleging, complaining that the government employee or the office holder was not doing their job. And the employee or the office holder would be legally liable to pay up if they were found guilty and not doing their job. It would be their money, not the government's money, not the taxpayers' money. The offending, the criminal government employee or office holder. And, you know, that's what I could say about this. I think they figured out a great way of bringing some accountability. But now the question is, how do you get it made into law? And, you know, we just do the best we can. I'm putting out the interviews that I can get. I put out letters that I write to these government people that won't give the interviews. Do the best I can putting that out on the Internet and trying to get the news media to look at it and trying to get people to look at it. Are there any questions?
Why do you, this is Dan Flatley, Don or the other two gentlemen on this call, why do you think that there hasn't been more public outrage over these kind of things? Why haven't we seen, because I have, there's some people that I know, some acquaintances that I have that, you know, they post on social media or Facebook or different things about Monsanto and GMOs and things like that, but it just never seems to coalesce into a real movement. And I'm just kind of wondering
I'll jump in there. I think it's because there are so many things that people are overwhelmed with the reality of having such a terrible government. They don't know where to start first, and it is starting to come together. There's starting to be a real movement on the fracking. People know that careless chemical use has occurred and caused this cancer and all these other problems, and they're kind of like in there on the fracking. And there were 1,000 people plus down in Albany back in, you know, September of 2012. I'm sure there were more in some of these more recent events, but I was there in that event, and the people are coming together on this, like on nothing else. They're coming together on the Keystone XL pipeline. They're coming together on climate change. There's starting to be a lot of coming together on some very major issues. But as far as why nothing's happened on some of these other major issues, it's because there's too many major issues, and people are very frustrated and just disenchanted and numb and various other things that happen to people. They're sick, too. Lots of people would love to do it, except for the fact that they got the disease that was caused by the bad government behavior, and now they're too sick to do anything about it. There's a lot of things involved. A lot of things involved.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that, Lou or Dale? Lou or Dale? Any other questions, Mr. Flatley?
What are as this? A good question would be, as this congressional campaign moves forward, if you had to, if you wanted to bring these types of issues to the forefront, and I don't think that anybody has really talked too much about the environment or about the environment at all, or fracking in particular, or anything like that. How do you bring this into the conversation in a way that is going to be constructive and is going to, I guess that would be the question. How do you?
Okay.
Is there a way?
Okay.
To
I understand. Well, I started off. I talked to my fellow Green Party candidate Matt Funicello, and he has said to me that he is an opponent to the fracking, and so I'm hoping that he and I together will be working on that angle. This bringing out the fracking, making the fracking issue an issue. I'll tell you, when I ran in 2012. Congressman Owens was clearly a proponent of fracking, but he was the guy that would say, we're going to make sure it's done right. Well, it can't be done right, so that's empty. And and a reasonable person thinking about it would know it can't be done right. And then there was Mr. Doheny. He was a cheerleader for fracking. He was just like, yeah, rah, rah, rah. This is wonderful North Dakota, the fracking for oil in the Bakken Shale in North Dakota. It's making all the rest of the world in that North Dakota economy. This Mr. Doheny was, and he's going at it, he's in this race again, and I hope to get the opportunity to square off with him on this. It's not right. You shouldn't be cheerleading for something that has such a record of harming people. They've done a lot of the fracking already. They've done a lot of it out in Texas. There's good documentation of the harm to public health, breast cancer, and various other problems that are caused in Texas by fracking. There's been a huge amount of fracking in Texas. There's all kind of documentation, Gasland 1, Gasland 2, lots of other films about how fracking is harming groundwater quality. This is being done because the oil corporations, the gas corporations, have a tremendous amount of power. There's a huge amount of money involved in this. I think the only way to bring this forward is just keep hammering on it, and hopefully maybe some of these organizations, like the there's this Food and Water Watch in New York City. There's the Grassroots Environmental Education on Long Island. There's the Catskill Mountain Keeper down in the Catskill part of the New York State. There's Environmental Advocates. There's a bunch of New York State groups that I have connections to. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, maybe they would help me somehow get the news media interested in these particular issues. I'm doing a fracking event tomorrow. I'm going up to Enbridge St. Lawrence Gas there in Messina on Stern Street, and I'm going to speak out, you know, just speak the truth that I know so well from being a scientist and having I graduated summa cum laude in biology and chemistry from SUNY Potsdam, and SUNY Potsdam had a fantastic biology and chemistry program. It got me into New York State Veterinary College, and I was, you know, I'm really sharp on this stuff, and I know the science, and I know that fracking is very, very harmful on top of too much harm already. So I'm going to be speaking out about that in Messina tomorrow, and I hope the news media will cover it. But, you know, we're just trying, and I'm going to ask Mr. Funicello to get me some invitations to make presentations. I found that making presentations during public forums and government meetings is very effective. Town governments have these forums, and county governments have these forums. I want an invitation from Mr. Funicello's legislator down in Washington County to make a presentation to the Washington County Legislature about the GE PCBs in the Hudson River that have set so many people up to get diabetes and heart disease and cancer, because within 3 miles of that Hudson River, in the town of Fort Edward and in various other locations in Washington County, there's been a huge amount of respiratory exposure to PCBs evaporating from the contaminated Hudson in these very, very contaminated parts of the Hudson. So all well established in the scientific literature. You can actually even find this little bit of public health messaging on the, I think it's on the Department of Health, State Department of Health's website about the Hudson River. Not out there for the general public about PCB exposures, but for that particular population. And I want to make that presentation in Washington County to the Washington County Legislature and see if they would get interested in educating Washington County residents about that World Health Organization report about the persistent organic pollutants, which include the PCBs. Well, I believe that candidates working together can, you know, get some traction and get the message out there, especially during these public forums. The public forums are a moment when there's a lot of people around, when you can tell the truth and speak freely, and it's valuable. It's powerful.
I think that's all I have for now.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate the fact that you're willing to get on this call, because we're talking about what I consider to be the very essence of how to save America from going down the drain. If we don't have a government that's accountable to its citizens, then we got nothing. And we got nothing right now. And we want to change that. I want to change it. I'm very interested in changing it. And I believe that by bringing out the truth about something that's wrong, we will eventually fix it. And that's what I consider government accountability to be. You figure out what they need to be held accountable for. You bring out the truth about it and hold them accountable. And then if you actually have succeeded in holding them accountable, they will fix it. They will change. The government employee will start doing his job. The New York State Department of Health will start educating on chemicals that cause cancer. The Monsanto will get its ass out of the Food and Drug Administration forever. You know, these things can change. They can change fast once the people really get excited and start speaking and hearing the truth about it and sharing that truth and getting determined to get their country back.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on the call.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Have a nice evening, Mr. Flatley.
Okay, you too.
Yep. Well, thanks, Dale, and thanks, Lou. You're great guys. You speak the truth at a time that's very much needed. This has been a town hall conference call on creating government accountability. And I believe that we created some government accountability here tonight. Viva the government accountability revolution.